Well, we seek an earnest desire for your prayers. The Lord would bless a little portion of his word. I don't want to be presumptuous in any way to assume that he will just have mercy on us because it's you and I that are here, but we need his mercy because we're desperate to make heaven. So we need him to bless and undertake. For our little message today, it's nothing new. You know, sometime as we go through life, we find surprises. We're surprised. Things change and we're not expecting it. Those things happen pretty much continually. But there's no surprises to God. No surprises to him whatsoever. He knows the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. And he knows all about each and every one of us. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about Zion and how to obtain it. Proper way that I feel that you need to go about obtaining Mount Zion. Have you ever heard the saying, why, it's just as plain as the nose on your face? You ever heard that? You and I can look at the same thing, see the same thing, and yet it'll be different in our own minds. It's the nature of man. We have two men hanging on a cross, both of them looking at the Savior. One of them seeing a Savior, the other one seeing hope of getting down off the cross. The Lord wants every one of us to stay on the cross, folks, because he has something special for us. I found it to be special. And I want to talk about Zion a little bit because to many, many people, it's not as plain as the nose on their face. They hear about it. They see it. But folks, the Lord told Peter that we need a revelation. We need a revelation from God, an understanding from him. That's what is needed so desperately among us today. As we face, Sister Diane said in her prayer, we're facing the end. How desperately that we need to be sure that we're prepared for the end. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and I want to be ready. But as I go along life's way and journey along this way, a little while longer until the Lord sees fit, change all of that for every one of us, we want to be able to see the blessings of the Lord. We want to be able to see all that he has for us. There's a reason for that. Look at a scripture over in the 13th chapter of Genesis. In the 13th chapter and the 14th verse, God renews his covenant with Abram. And the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land, the length of it, the breadth of it, for I'll give it unto thee. Abram removed his tent and came and dwelled in the, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. God basically took Abraham up to a summit, and he said, look around, look to the east, look to the north, look to the south, look to the west, and everything that your eyes behold, I'm going to give it to you. Don't you want everything the Lord has for you? Don't you want to be able to enjoy the blessings that God has for you? He's got a lot for us, folks. There's a lot available to each and every one of us, but it's what you see. It's what you perceive to be true. People are looking at the church today, and they're not satisfied with the church because they don't see it. They don't understand it. They don't see, you know, Paul has the same scripture over in the New Testament where he talks about the length and the breadth and the height and the depth everywhere. Folks, this thing, you can't get it all here. But folks, we can strive for it every day. God has blessings for you and I that we have not attained yet. He has depths and heights and breadths and lengths that you and I have not attained yet, but we're working towards that end. Now, first of all, in order for me to be able to see Zion, and you too, you gotta be born again. Jesus said that. We heard that this morning. You got to be born again in order to see this. So that's the start of this whole thing, is being born again, born of the blood of Jesus, in order for us to be able to see this. It's a spiritual Zion. It's a spiritual kingdom. And you and I need to have spiritual understanding, or a spiritual perception and a deeper and divine revelation of the scriptures for all that God has for you and I this morning. I want it all. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. It's His good will to give us the kingdom. But do you really have the kingdom this morning? Do you really see the greatness, the vast expanse of this kingdom today? It's so important, because you and I are going to have troubles. We're going to have sorrows. We're going to have tests in life. There's going to be times when we're not up there on the mountain and we're down in the valley and we need some special strength from God. And folks, I want to tell you this morning, it'll be Zion that sustains us, and it'll be Zion that keeps us. We need the Lord, and we need Zion this morning. We got to be able to see it. We got to be up in a place. First of all, where are you today? We got to be up in a place. We got to be high up in a place where we can see in all directions. We can see all this land that God has for you and I. Got to be up there. We got to be in a place that God can reveal to us the height and the depths and the length and the breadth and all these kind of things. He said, you just look around. Just see it. But I want you to see it. I don't want you to just look it over and then forget it later. I want you to see it. I want you to understand it. It's going to be your life. It's going to be your strength, and it's going to be your grace. We got to be able to see it. The reason we have to be able to see it is because of our spiritual perception. This is important. If our spiritual perception is limited, our possession is going to be limited too. Doesn't make sense? If our spiritual perception does not take all that God has for us, does not take that in, we do not apply that, we do not get a hold of that in our lives, folks, our possession is going to be limited to what we can see and to what we can understand. So we need spiritual minds. May the Lord help us this morning to have spiritual minds. In other words, our hearts that are open to receive instruction, admonition, and correction from God's Word. Even if we don't see it, we don't get it. If I don't see it, I don't get it. See, it's as plain as the nose on your face. Well, I can see the nose on your face. But folks, Zion is not that plain this morning unless it's been revealed to you by the Spirit of God. Zion's not that plain, but it's there for you to understand. It's there for you to get a hold of because it's your protection. And it's your perfection in perfecting your walk with Christ. It's for your good that you see Zion today. The self life, the flesh life, you can't see very far down there. People living too close to the world today, and people can't see it because they're living too close to the world. You can't see this down there. You got to be up on Mount Zion to be able to see the church, to be able to get a hold of the truth. And that's where the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to understand these things. I want to turn to a familiar text, familiar scripture over here. There's several things I'd like to say this morning, if the Lord help us. The 48th chapter of Psalms, and you all know the scripture, but it says, let Mount Zion, the 11th verse, 48th chapter, let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Do you know, and I believe this to be a fact, there are so many people today that have got so many worries, so many troubles, so many problems. They're looking at so much of the things that they have to deal with in life, and they don't see God. Folks, when you add God to the mix, anything can happen for you and I. We can enjoy blessings that this old world cannot receive outside of God's plan, outside of Zion. He says, walk about Zion. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Have you ever taken the time to just do that? Think about what God has given us, what we are blessed to receive. He says, mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Walk about Zion. Folks, I want to tell you something. I've been around long enough to learn a few things. And there are folks today that have lived among the saints all of their lives, born into Christian homes, and lived among the saints, heard the truth being taught all their lives, and can't tell you much about Zion. Did you know that? How long you been saved? What's your experience? I had someone set me down one time and said, Brother Larry, I want to ask you a question. I said, all right, I'll try to do the best I can with it. They said, you know, I've lived around the saints all my life. And I'm saved, and I'm living for the Lord. And I'm doing all I know to do. Folks, you got to see it. You got to understand the depths of it. They said, someone asked me, a very good friend of mine asked me, why does your people do such and such a thing? And they said, well, I don't know. except I know that the ministers preach it and the teachers teach it and the Bible says it, but I don't know why we're doing these things. Folks, we need to understand why you're doing what you're doing. Why are you doing it? You need to have a love for it. You need to have a desire for it. You need to be able to see it. Folks, there's things that are important to us. There's unity. There's divine healing. There's salvation. It's all important to us, but there ain't one any more important than the other except salvation. We are people that teach and preach salvation. You must be saved. You must be born again. Folks, these things don't just fall down upon us. We need to seek the Lord this morning. We need to seek Him for greater depths and higher heights in Him. He said, look around, Abram. Everything that you see is yours. I'll give it to you. Just look around. What do you see this morning? What are you looking at this morning? Do you really see the glory of God? Do you really see the power of God? Do you really see that He can move mountains? Do you really see that He can bless your life and He can fulfill every desire that you have to the point where Christ will be our all in all? You know that scripture? Christ being our all in all. He can do that. But we need spiritual perception. That's what's needed. I think about our people. Some of our people that are satisfied with just the dregs. They hear what the Lord's saying and they hear sometimes they hear ministers preaching, oh, you can do this and you can live like that. But, well, they don't ever push to attain that. They think that's going to just fall in their laps and it's not going to just fall in their laps. You've got to push to obtain. You got to work out your salvation in fear and trembling before the Lord, don't you? People are being satisfied. We're living beneath the privilege. You ever heard that before? Sure you have. People being satisfied with the dregs. The children of Israel were murmuring. Think about this. We haven't changed much. The children of Israel were problem children. But they had a soul and God loved it. But they were murmuring and they were complaining in the wilderness when all that murmuring and complaining and wandering around the wilderness, God had a land of Canaan waiting for them that was flowing with milk and honey. All the goodies over there in that land. They didn't have to do anything to take that land. They didn't have to do anything to control that land. God said, I give it to you. God's got some things He wants to give to us. They're out there murmuring and complaining, crying in the wilderness. Folks, we got to be where God wants us to be. Not where you think you ought to be. Be where God wants you to be. Be where God can minister the grace down in your soul that you're going to need. Folks out there in the world today, and we know some of us that are going to Babylon to try to find Zion. You can't go to Babylon and find Zion. I'm going to tell you, over there in Ezra, I'm not going to turn to it, in the fourth chapter, when they were rebuilding the temple, Zerubbabel, there were some men came to him and said, let us build with you, for we worship God just like you worship God. We do the same things you do. Yeah, they did. They worshiped God, but they worshiped other gods too. They were the Nicolaitans that was spoken of in the book of Revelations. They worshiped other gods too. Their hearts were divided. They did not see Zion. And therefore Zerubbabel would not let them work with them in rebuilding the temple. You can't go down to Babylon, folks. You're not going to find it there. When your heart is divided and you're trying to find it, folks, you just need to humble yourself. You just need to humble yourself. Because I'm going to tell you something. And I know this to be a fact. God is still working with Zion. God is still working with Zion. God's still blessing His church. He's still blessing His people. He's still hearing and answering prayer, as the scripture's been quoted a couple times this morning. His eyes are over the righteous, and His ears are opening to our prayers. Folks, God's still working in Zion. He loves Zion. He said Zion was His place, and He would come down and meet us in Zion. Walk about Zion. Go round about her. I tell you, I enjoy talking about the church. I enjoy the blessings that God has given us in the church. I enjoy, you put yourself in where I was a few weeks ago. Whenever I needed prayer desperately, and the church went to prayer for me, and the Lord heard and had mercy, and He delivered me. Folks, that's very special to me. Because this thing works. It works. God wants to bless us, folks. He wants to help us to see Zion. I want to turn to another scripture. It's in Joshua. Joshua 13 and 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Folks, some of us getting older. Some of us have gone over the hump, and we're going downhill as far as life is concerned. And the Lord says there's still land out there, very much land to be possessed. It's the Father's goodwill, remember that, to give you the kingdom. This is the land that yet remaineth of the borders of the Philistines and all Jeshurun, from Shiat, even which is before Egypt, even into the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazanites and the Ashdodites and the Ekronites and all the differentites that was over there. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites and Merah, that is before, beside the Sidonians unto Aphex to the border of the Amalites. In other words, all this land. You're over here in Jordan now. Folks, just because you're over in the Jordan land, just because you're saved and sanctified, and thank the Lord if you are. Thank the Lord that we are saved and sanctified this morning. But just because we are saved and sanctified, we can't lean back and rest on our knees. When they got over there to the land of Canaan, they fought Jericho, they fought Ai, they fought different enemies that was over there. Folks, we always, as long as we have breath in this life, we're going to have enemy of our soul. He's going to come against us. You're just going to let Him take it? You're just going to let Him take it? There remaineth land to be possessed. Do you feel like the Lord has some things that He still wants you to learn? Things He still wants you to understand? Things that He still wants you to possess or get a hold of? Remember, I heard a story one time about a man that got to go to the seashore. Never been to the seashore before. And he got to the seashore and he looked out there on the water as far as his eye could see. And he saw out there in the horizon, he saw where the water met the sky. That's as far as you can see because the earth is round. And the water out there, that ocean, it met the sky. And he looked at it and he said, well, is that all there is to it? Folks, the Lord wants you and I to expand our horizons. He wants us to see beyond. He wants us to see Him, His power, His glory, everything that He has for you and I to be able to stand in these evil days that you and I are living in. Folks, we're just kind of scratching the surface sometimes. and not really getting a hold of this the way the Lord wants us to get a hold of it. Is that all there is to it? Is that all there is to it? There's a length and a breadth and a height and all these things and a depth that God has for you and I. He wants us to obtain those things. And we're going to have to put our all in all in it. We're going to have to put our heart in it. We're going to have to put our life in it. Jesus should come first in our life. There's a lot of people today that are taking the Word of God and listening to it, but they're not receiving it into their hearts. And because of that, they are anemic. Spiritually anemic. They are without spiritual understanding. If you eat, I'm gonna say something to the natural to bring out the spiritual. If you eat food, no matter what you eat, even if it's veggies and they're food that's really good for you, and I love veggies, even if it's those kind of things, if your body doesn't assimilate that food and take that food and break it down and take it to the places that will promote health in your body, folks, you'll get sick. And it's the same way spiritually. When you hear the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, when God is talking to you, unless you take that and assimilate that and, assimilate that and let it work its way into your life and into your the possession of your soul. Unless you break, that food is broken down and blessed, God cannot help us to be able to understand the things that we need to understand. Brother mentioned in his Sunday school about the days that we're living in and how that we need to cry out to God. God, have mercy on us. We need the fear of God before our lives. Need to ask myself something this morning. Do I have the joy that I ought to have? Do I have peace reigning within my soul? Is the work of God a secondary work for us? Is it a secondary work? Do we sometimes put everything first before God? God said He wanted to be first. He wants to be first in our affections. Do you know what every one of us need? We need an outreach in our souls. Lord, give us an outreach. Help us to understand that there are people dying every day that's unprepared to meet God. They're leaving this world every day. Sometimes I think we're plagued with complacency. Complacency. Are you complacent? Do you know, if we have an urge or a hunger or a thirsting after righteousness, the Lord said we'd be filled. The Lord said that. He said we'd be filled. But it's very difficult to feed people that aren't hungry. We need folks to be hungry, folks. Do you want to see Zion? This is going to be how you get it. You're going to have to be hungry for it. You're going to have to desire it. We need people that has a good appetite. Someone that's not so particular about what he eats. But we need the hunger of our souls satisfied. We need our souls satisfied. How's that going to happen? I want to turn over to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians 1 and 8. 1 and 18, I'm sorry. And see what it says here. Ephesians 1 and 18. He says, the eyes of your understanding. This is Paul preaching here, teaching. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? We heard about his mighty power. We talked about it a little while ago. Folks, he's got mighty power. He wants our eyes of understanding, our spirit to be enlightened so we can take the word of God in and we can assimilate it and break it down and it will nourish us and sustain us and bring life and peace and joy and hope and all the things that you find in Zion today. The eyes of your understanding. The things that we don't understand, folks, doesn't feed your soul. If you hear something and you don't understand and you need a greater explanation, the Lord has it. Maybe you can talk to someone else about it. But I take my Bible when I don't have an understanding and I open it up and I lay it down there before the Lord and I get down and say, Lord, show this to me. Explain this thing to me. Help me to get a hold of this thing that I may be rich toward God. Rich in my soul and have power with God. Lord, help us. Things we don't understand, they don't feed the soul. We need to understand what we hear and what we see. Now, it takes the light of God, doesn't it? The eyes of your understanding. Being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. It takes the light of God in each and every one of our hearts for us to understand what his word is teaching us. He wants us to get a hold of it. But I have another verse of scripture for you. He said, his spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Did he say that? His spirit beareth witness to our spirit. Folks, divine inspiration lightens the soul. But when God's spirit is searching our hearts, and it's time for us to examine ourselves, is when God is examining with his spirit. His spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Oh, I know we get it in our mind sometime. The Lord's been talking to us and we've been in service and we'll say, well, I'm going to take care of this when I get home. I'm going to take care of this. You better take care of it now. When the Lord beareth witness with your spirit, because he's trying to help you. He's trying to help you to see something. I want to look at another scripture. Folks, this is the crux of the whole matter right here. I want you to understand something. The Lord has special things for us. Luke, the 24th chapter. I don't know what verse yet. 24th chapter. He's 45th verse. We're going to begin there. He's talking to his disciples. His disciples, do you believe they were saved? I believe they were saved. I believe they were his people. Then it says, then opened he their understanding that he might understand the scriptures. Lord, open our understanding. Help us to understand what these scriptures are saying to us. Help us to teach us. Help them to make us healthy and make us strong. He said, and thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. But listen to what he went on to say. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Folks, sometimes it takes fasting. Sometimes it takes praying. We have to tarry before God. Let's don't be in such a hurry to get this salvation done, folks. Let's get all the grace that God has for you and I. I think about the 10 virgins. They were all virgins, but 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. We need God's grace on hand. We don't know when He's coming after us. We don't know when He will return, but I'll tell you what, the King is coming. The good Lord is coming back, and He's calling every one of His children. I want to be in that number when He calls for me. Tarry in Jerusalem, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Have you done that? Have you tarried before the Lord? Have you tarried before His face until you've been endued with power from on high? Power to overcome self. Power to overcome your own personal problems. Power to overcome the world. Power to overcome sin. Power to overcome anything that opposes and comes against everything that Christ has to offer you and I. Tarry. Tarry means to wait. Stay there. Until you're endued with power from on high. Folks, that tells me one thing for sure. It tells me that there's something after I get saved that the Lord said He had special for me, that I would tarry before Him and I would get the grace that is needed that I might receive the Spirit and be endued with power from on high. Lord, help me to press my way to the horizons that He has for me. He wants to reveal deep and wonderful things to me. How clear the hope of the righteous. How clear when we discern the things of the kingdom of God. The church is beautiful today. There's nothing more solid. There's nothing that even compares to the church of God. Jesus gave His life for it. He purchased it with His own blood, the Bible says. It makes it very special because it was purchased by God. And God gave it to you and I. And do we just take it lightly? Are we taking it serious today? Do we understand that He has this thing? He wants us to understand how special this thing is for us. He wants us to understand there's heights that you can attain today if you will press your way in to the face of God. There's heights that you can obtain. I want to read another verse. I'm winding down here, but I want to read another one. It's found in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Listen to this. Listen how he phrases this. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, listen, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. He, by revelation, made known unto me the mystery. Boy, I sure wish I was like Brother Paul. Oh, I sure wish I was like Sister so-and-so and Brother so-and-so. Folks, God has a revelation for you. An understanding for you. He wants you to see this. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be a good citizen of Mount Zion. He said here that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. How am I going to understand it? How am I going to know the mystery of God? By revelation. Flesh and blood, Peter, didn't reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it. He's revealed it. Revelation. He's revealed it unto you. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Oh, Paul, was Paul a great disciple? Yes, he was. But he was just a man. He wasn't anything compared to Jesus. He didn't have any salvation to offer you if it hadn't been for Jesus. Jesus paid it all. He paid the price for you and I to enjoy this wonderful Zion. Oh, how much or how clear is your hope this morning? How clear is it? How much of that exceeding greatness of his power do we have mentioned in the Sunday school? We can ask a lot of things. I'm determined that we can ask a lot of things, but I want to ask according to his will. And I want to ask things that are beneficial to my soul. I want to ask more of his revelation, more of his love, more of his power. His word revealed by his spirit. Oh, scripture says, anoint our eyes, Lord, with eye salve, that we might be able to see. It's all the Lord. Wherever we stand this morning, wherever we are on the walk of life, we need the Lord to anoint our eyes with eye salve, that we might be able to see this wonderful truth. Get a hold of it. Not just go along with the flow. Go along with the crowd. Do it because everybody else is doing it. Your mom and dad might have made heaven. Or they might be on their way to heaven, but you're going to have to do what they had to do to get there. You're not going to get in on their coattail. You're not going to get in on their experience, but we all have to have an experience with God. We need the hunger of our soul satisfied. I know that we get tired. People are tall, always tired today and weary. But folks, there's conflicts that are going to come against you and against me in order for me to possess the land that God has waiting for us. There's conflicts. And it's almost certain. It's almost certain that the plague of complacency. Please don't get complacent. Please be in earnest about your salvation personally. Your personal salvation before the Lord. Paul said this because he knew the makeup of man. He told us, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forth to those things that are before. May the Lord help me to see the need to what I'm pressing forward to. Help me to see what I'm pressing forward to. I've got to have some kind of an incentive. I've got to have some kind of personal desire. You know, the Lord told us in Revelations, the 3rd chapter, y'all know the verse, very familiar verse. Jesus said, behold, I want you to see. I don't want you to just hear. I want you to see. See, Job said, I once heard of him, but now I see him. We want to go through the experiences that we have to go through that we can see this. Because it's for us. It's not for the world, but it's for us. And people don't understand these things today because they're not pressing for the understanding of getting a hold of it. But he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, didn't he? If any man will sup with me, I will come in and sup with him. Folks, the door, it doesn't have a doorknob on the other side, but he's waiting for us to open it. Oh, when I was in my younger days and starting out into the ministry, I used to take this scripture and preach to the lost, to the sinners. But folks, it's for us. It's for us. I'm standing there and I'm waiting. You just invite me in. You open the door. Open the door, and when you open the door, I will come in and I will bring revelations like you never had before. I will bring depths into your heart and work things out in your life like you never had before. But we are so busy looking at things and not realizing and recognizing the power and the authority that God has over things. God created all things. Things are just things. They're not important. But God is. And we ought to put Him first in our lives. Not be complacent. But reach out. I think about Caleb. What did he say? He was 85, wasn't he? 85 years old. But he says, I'm still got good health and I still desire to work for the Lord. He said, give me this land, mountain. Give me this mountain. May the Lord help us. Lord, give us Mount Zion. Help us to see it. Every place that your eyes can see, everything that you can behold, it's yours. I have it to offer you. I don't have it. He says, I have it to offer you. And He wants to give it. It's His Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. I hope we understand this morning how important it is to be able to see the church. Oh, there's a lot of people that's got problems with the church. And I hate it that it's that way. Because they don't see it. They don't understand it. I talk about this a lot here, but there's two parts to the church. There's a visible and invisible church. And what I see, I'm not always satisfied with. You're not always satisfied with. Because people don't always do what they're supposed to do. Brother Gordon's mother, Sister Humphrey, said, what's the matter with those folks? They're not acting upright. Well, people don't act upright sometimes. Folks, we leave that to God. We are mature enough and have enough understanding to know He is able to take care of both phases of the church. And the second phase, the invisible phase, He promotes everything that He does by the Holy Spirit. God works and does what He will in the hearts of men and women. May the Lord help us this morning. I want us to be strong. I want us, and folks, we can't be strong until we see it. We gotta see it. We gotta see this thing, Lord. Help us to get our eyes open, our understanding be enlightened, that we can get a hold of the Word of God and get a hold of the blessings that God has for us. You pray for us that we'll be faithful.